I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, this is Jason Martinez from the Flyers Broadcast Network, and you're watching, listening to, enjoying, it's the best, Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Fuck you. You know what's happening. You dick. Same old stuff, Rigorelia. What's up with you, my man?
Oh, much. You got a fresh trim there?
I did. It's horrendous.
I like it.
What am I going to do? Yeah, you like it. All right. That's all I've heard about for the last 4.5 hours since we've been sitting here.
High and tight.
High and tight.
Bangs,
when I just wanted it trimmed. Just the dead ends. I wanted the length a little bit. I didn't want the man bun, but I was wanted. But the lady was cool, and yeah, I just got to deal with it. One of those things, man. I might just buzz her right down anyway.
Think so?
Yeah, maybe.
Did you tip her?
I did. Yeah. I did. You guys always make fun of me because I'm a big tipper.
Yeah, but
I can't help it.
But when you're not happy with the service, you still tip?
It's fine. I can deal with it, dude. Nothing's,
hair, man.
Nothing's helping me, man. It's not. It doesn't matter what
did
I
you
do.
Get a little color
hair.
In there, too?
No.
No?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Fuck, you want me to look like Neil Little? No. I had his glasses on earlier.
You did.
Lits.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
The clear sides.
Yeah,
the clear frames.
The clear frames. He's put mine tent.
Oh, yeah, you
my
have 10.
So.
Like Ovi in his first year in the NHL.
That's right.
He looked fast.
Yeah, I did look way faster. I need that when I'm playing hockey. I want to be as quick as Debo.
You know, speaking of hockey, did you recover from our little men's league action after the Flyers game?
Yeah, we had a great time with our buddies from Clear Rum.
Yep.
That was fun. It was cool to play in the center again. I know you did it for real. I was surprised how many people were actually sitting in that one section. It was almost full. I was kind of laughing. It was a little wild, but then I got Carter Hart coming down and chirping me for missing on my one-timer when I – great save. I mean, the guy looked like Patrick Waugh. What a save. Actually,
backdoor tap and nasty.
Whoa, let's settle down.
A little bit of flutter
pump
on the brakes.
Pass. It might have been a little flutsy.
It's a backhand sauce to you.
But that guy, I'm going to say he had you wound up. But
he did.
When the puck was loose, I had a nice shot at a rebound. He literally took my legs out. And as I'm falling, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to, like, break my back because I'm old as dirt. And he goes, yes, I will trip you so you don't score. Like, he said that, kind of laughed, and I'm like, all right, get up. And then I finish. Then I tap one in, and I, like, said to him, what do you think now?
Oh,
he goes,
yeah,
oh, karma. Karma's a bit.
Poetic justice.
Poetic justice.
Yeah, I like that.
So, but it was fun. It was fun to play, and saw a few buddies from the team that I used to work with. They came over and said hi to us, you know,
nice
all the boys. So it was nice to see them. And it was a really good time. We had fun.
Yeah. No, I had a good time too. And it's nice to get on the ice as always, you know.
Yeah.
Time is limited. It's hard to get out there, especially most of these men's league games are late night. And I'm
not ours.
Snoozing.
Not ours. Well, but you're snoozing. Late night for you is 7.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
You did make last week's game. For Natty Ice, and we had a nice win there.
Back-to-backs for me now.
Yeah, would you have a Hattie? Did you have a Hattie? I think you might have had a hat trick.
No, I didn't.
You sure?
I think maybe only a couple.
Oh, definitely yeah, a couple. Not a big deal. Uh-huh. Come back from 6-week hiatus. Miami, where else were you? Jamaica, like I don't know, Honolulu.
Not quite that far.
But Lancaster. Yeah, it was nice to get to play twice this week. Actually, that was back-to-backs
Friday. Yeah, Sunday, good. Monday. Yep. You know, a little Flyers hockey where we brought on Jason Martitas for episode 96 with getting into a bunch of nuts and bolts of the Flyers hockey. But since our last episode, Flyers are 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3. We lost to Tampa, New Jersey, came back with a win against Colorado, even though their lineup was a little depleted, but so are the Flyers.
Yep.
But still a good win nonetheless. And, you know, last night, Washington. Took the L there, but pretty good game. I was there with Elvis, so enjoyed it.
Yeah, and JVR back.
Yep, from, nice to see from him the IR.
Obviously, Lotz has been back for a couple games now. Obviously, helping the squad out. Yeah, leadership.
TK coming back. I think Ballard said it's been 4 games. He's got 3 goals and an assist. 4 points, 4 games. And obviously, you're missing that. And hopefully, JVR can. You know, that's his first game in a while, but he'll get going here and get warmed up, and they need help scoring.
Yeah,
we know that.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot. I don't see that getting fixed anytime soon. They're gonna have to score by committee and just find ways. I mean, there's no other way. Just keep the goals out and find a way to win 2-1, 3-2 hockey games.
Carter's definitely keeping them in.
He is definitely.
And Felix as well, like we said before, he's played well also. So.
100%.
If they can keep those goals down and the odd man rushes weren't as bad, I feel like, the last few games as they were earlier in the year. But, you know, it seemed like we were giving up a lot. A lot of big block shots. As a matter of fact, TK had a couple last night in the same shift. They're playing penalty kill. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be obviously on a Western trip here starting whether we're the Washington tonight.
I think they leave today.
Yeah. So some road games there. Hopefully they can muster up a couple wins.
Yep.
Stay healthy. Always helps. And, you know, see how that plays out for them.
Exactly.
Anything else around the league you want to talk about, Nast? You got a few things up your sleeve.
I feel like that Tage Thompson having 4 G's in the first period last night wasn't too bad. I thought that was pretty wild. I actually saw that he had 4 goals, and then Elvis is like, in the first period.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, what? And then I saw it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I ended up, I guess, with 5 on the night. And Mitch Marner's 20-game point streak.
Not bad.
Baller was talking about that earlier. Yeah, it's that's not bad.
Not bad at all. It'd be nice to have a 20-game point streak in any league.
I wouldn't mind it.
You don't have one in... Natty Light?
No, I do not.
No?
I doubt it.
I doubt it. You forgot.
I doubt it. It'd be all over the media. Yeah.
It would. It would. And then Jordan Bennington there in St. Louis, a couple little blurbs from Chief and some antics. What are your thoughts on all that?
I kind of like it.
I like it too.
Know it's like, you know, they're up and down, man. Talk about up and down. It's literally a roller coaster there. I think Chief just wants him to stop the puck, and I'm sure Bennington wants to stop the puck. He's had a tough go lately. But I kind of like a goalie with a little edge like that. I mean, nothing really happens. He just goes by the bench and says you guys are soft.
Yeah, right.
Nice way of putting it. I really don't mind it. I like when goalies get involved that way, but you probably want to be more focused on playing and stopping the puck.
Yeah.
So,
and it always reflects poorly when you aren't winning games. You know what I mean? You can turn a blind eye to some of that stuff when you're winning games, right? Because it's just, you know, it's just emotional game, emotional wins, all that good stuff. But once you're losing and you're a head coach and you have to make adjustments and you got to stop the bleeding somewhere. There's no, you know, you don't have to look much further than your goalie, especially if he's, you know,
he's been struggling,
and then, you know, if you're not stopping the puck and you're being a little bit of a distraction, if you will, you got to nip that in the butt. So hopefully they can turn that around. They can get back to winning games.
Yeah, I think they won their
always
last.
Always wishing Chief the best.
Yeah, exactly.
And what else you got, Nast? Anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it. All right, I think we're ready to rock here.
Let's do it.
Episode 96, creeping on a hundo. Big thanks to a couple of our sponsors here, DLI Commercial, Britt Mazzagatti, National Construction Company, NAST. They do it all.
They do.
They do it all. Episode 96 is presented to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted to this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA or stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth or visit curaleaf.com/locations.
Yes.
NAST, let's go.
Let's go.
Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we are very fortunate to have our good buddy who hosts the pre, the intermission, and the post game for the Flyers, as well as host of the Flyers Daily podcast, Mr. Jason Martinez. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I thought we were here to talk Formula One. I was ready to talk F1.
I know you do that as well. Yeah. That's right. You do it all.
Another in the off season, so we'll give you a pass.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. It's just trying to get through another season, and I think it's been intriguing what's going on, even though wins are always intriguing, but just the presence of torts, I think, makes everything very different, but in a good way.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you've been communicating with them quite a bit. I know you had a podcast with them yesterday, the day before. I mean, what's your relationship like with him, and like, what are you seeing from your perspective of how he's influenced the team so far?
Well, it's weird because when you kind of think the same way as somebody, your assumption is the relationship is good. I don't know how he'd answer the question. He'd probably say, I don't know. I don't have a relationship with him. He's a guy that I talk to once in a while.
But right.
I love the way his approach, just even before he was here, I always thought that it made sense for him to be here. And then you couple that with the timing that he is here, mm-hmm. because I think everybody needs a big mirror held in front of him right now. And we know that's what Torts does. And sometimes you won't like the reflection, and that's important. We talked to him before every game, the meetings we have with a head coach before the game, and they're very off the cuff. And some of the stuff is just context for us. Some of it is stuff we can use on the air, and some of it certainly is neither. So, we have really frank discussions about players, about different elements of the game and what they're trying to do on and off the ice. And I just think that, the honesty that he comes with every day and the accountability for him, that's not like a catchphrase for us. That is, I got to be accountable. That's easy to say, hard to live.
Right.
And I think he forces guys to live it, as best he can. And it's not easy forcing that with today's athlete. So, mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed covering him. I think he's a genuine guy. He's a dog lover.
Yeah.
All those things. Like, he's a real dude.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy covering him. I've covered some good guys. I mean, Lavi, we had a blast with Lavi.
Mm-hmm.
Similarities, but some differences too. I felt like Lavi was a little bit more serious all the time. With Torts, when kind of he's in off mode, he's a real laid back, like, moves slow, chill guy, So I really enjoy kind of being around him, and theoretically the way he talks about the game, I agree with.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And I was just going to say, Nasty and I have talked about this a bunch, when they signed Torts, we thought it was a good fit, obviously, from his past and all that. How do you see, the Flyers started off well, probably won some games they shouldn't have, probably because of Carter Hart, but how do you see this thing sustaining itself, over the course of the rest of the season here, with Torts behind the bench and knowing how he is, especially when things get a little rocky, do you see him being able to, maintain his composure? And
yeah, I think that's been a big question. You see it a lot on social media, especially through the 10-game winless skid.
Yeah.
This isn't what Torts thought he was getting into. He's going to walk. Then where are we? And so I think that's baloney, because I think he knew exactly what he was walking
into. Sure,
he
did, yes.
Yeah, he did.
And, I talked to him on the pod yesterday, and, one of the things he talked about, he loves teaching.
Mm.
And he's done more of that this year than ever before, shown more video, more teaching. He's called the league young and dumb. And to some extent, he's right, because the middle class is kind of gone right now.
Right.
I think it'll come back. But as far as him not getting something that he didn't expect, I think that's baloney.
Yeah.
And I think he understands. You look at his history. I think there was this notion that he was going to come in here and take a team that was well below average and have it fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
That never happens where he goes in year one. In year one, he goes and weeds out, and none of his teams have ever knocked on the door of a wild card in year one. It's about finding out who's who, who's part of the solution, who's part of the problem, who's part of the problem that we have to get out of here immediately, mm-hmm. and how do we replace him? And then we have this arc that we go on of he makes the playoffs in full year two of a full season and arcs towards however high he can get. In Tampa, that was a cup.
Yep.
It took 4 years, and he was there for six. In New York, that was a conference final, and in Columbus, got to a couple of second rounds. So where that arc goes remains to be seen, but he defies the logic of, you know, kind of the way people think. Everybody thinks he's a tyrant, and
yeah,
he's going to burn. He burns hot, and he's going to burn out quick, but the average tenure of an NHL coach is 2.4 years. His average tenure, if you take out Vancouver, is over 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
So that's he's a bit of an anomaly
yeah,
in that way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, he's had a good track record, and I think he's, say, softened a little bit over time. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's not the right word, but I mean...
Evolved.
I think he's, yeah. Yeah, I think right. He's
evolved,
learned,
yeah, exactly.
Like, we had Jay Rosehill on last week, and he was under torts only for some camps, but... He said he's amazed at how he has evolved with, as Rosie put it, it's a little softer now than it used to be. The game's obviously different from when he had him in Tampa. That was years and years ago. But I think that's a perfect word. He's evolved. And even Michael Delzato told us that.
Yeah.
When we had him on, he goes, he's a lot different than when I had him in New York when I was a kid. He's like, he's a lot calmer. You know, he still gets on you.
More tactical, I
yes,
think.
He yeah. gets on you when he should. And coaches should be able to do that anyway. That's what makes me laugh sometimes. But,
you know, that's the funny thing. Like, yeah. when they hired him, and I know that Dubinsky put out, like, oh, pray for the Flyers players. And a lot of people had that same mentality, like, oh, shit, you got to deal with this guy, right? And, you know, players, you know, elite athletes, you guys have been around them enough. Riles, you were one. Like, they're not used to being pushed.
Yeah.
How do you get there without
yeah,
being
right?
pushed?
I know.
Like,
seems so odd.
Yeah, they're like, this is foreign. Like, how are you going to push an elite athlete? Well, how do you think he became an elite athlete? You yeah. don't come out of the womb and just be able to, like, you know, go up and down the ice.
Right.
I got news for you. Connor McDavid had to push mm-hmm. to yeah. get to where he is, and Ovi, and the great players, and they all do. So pushing a guy to uncomfortable levels, I think for some guys is welcomed.
Right.
100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah you sure. want that.
You want that.
Yeah. You yeah. should want that.
Yeah, you should want that. That's how you yeah, maximize you know? your team.
And,
your
and
squad.
If you don't want that, I don't want you.
Yeah, well, that's it, right? yeah.
And I think that's what he's
Bingo.
Yep. figuring out yeah. right now with the team.
Yeah, and I think too, like, a lot of Torts' track record, what it appears to the general public, is based on his media blurbs, right? So, like, that's all they see. They don't mm-hmm. see him behind closed doors and having yeah. communication with their players. And you have other coaches, I know, like John Stevens, for example, even Hack, they get knocked on for not being, overly dramatic on the bench, showing emotional mm-hmm. and stuff. But you don't think all these coaches push their players as well, just in different ways. I mean, that's what coaches do. But I
Hack
think
Hack was as serious as a heart attack.
Right, yeah.
When it was time.
Yeah, so right. no doubt.
He wasn't going to be going crazy on the bench, because his way of doing things was, hey, if the leader is out of control, then how do the people that I'm leading,
that's exactly
how are they
exactly
react? Yeah, I mean, and some guys like Torts, he'll MF you up and down the bench if you don't do something right. But
Lavi would
different.
Too.
Oh,
yeah. you know,
oh, yeah,
like
he
Lavi
would.
Would too.
Yeah.
You know that you were down there.
Yeah,
but.
So I mean, it's just the you got to be who you are. You
yeah,
can't be
right.
fake, right?
That's
right.
it.
I mean, if you have a coach that's trying to message you and it's all bullshit and fake, and you're like, am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I'm going to. but, like, if they're
I've
not being did. Authentic to who they are,
yeah.
as a person, you see that, and you're like, this dude's phony.
Yeah,
yeah right.
He's trying to be who we liked watching or something.
I used to have friends, like, you know, around when that Hack was here, and they would be like, oh, like, he's too stoic on the bench. I'm like, wait, do you go underneath and get into the locker room? Do you know what he does? Like, you have no idea. Like, if he, like you just said, if he's out of control on the bench and he's your leader, there's a funny story about G where Hack, we were waiting on a review for the refs, and he's got everybody over at the bench. He goes, listen, whichever way it goes, let's just keep going. We're playing well. Stay with it. And the guys get real quiet, and G goes, if it doesn't go our way, I'm going to fucking lose it.
He was laughing. It cut the tension.
And Hack even started laughing. It was pretty funny. But yeah. But yeah, you're right. You're a phony if you're acting one way and you're not one way. That's
just be authentic.
Be authentic, yeah.
100%.
Because that's one of the things, like, John Stevens, like, really, really kind of drilled into me was, like, maintaining composure, to your point. Like, if the leader is composed and calm, that trickles down to the rest of them. You know, there's a time to get worked up, obviously. You know, you're playing sports here, but that was the one thing I took away from John Stevens. And that was, like, that's his character, right? He gets fired up, but he picks his battles of when he shows it and how he shows it, you know, and then, you know, behind closed doors. I mean, you be careful, you know, put your helmet back on between periods. You should be flying. But, you know, that was one thing that I appreciated is because it's so true. And I take that into my parenting. It's like if I'm frazzled and showing a lack of composure, you don't think my kids are going to be like following the leader here? And
you something know, happens down. At the house and like the electricity goes out and you start freaking out like, oh my God, you know, like the kids are going to be like, oh my God, this is the worst thing to ever happen. Like,
yeah, exactly.
No big deal. Right. Let's pump the generator on.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You know, the Uncrustables aren't going to go bad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all that. You're good to go.
They're allowed to eat those.
Those are off limits anyways.
Not at your house.
No. Oh man. That's great.
Yeah.
No, that's totally right on that. Yeah. Hit the nail on the head with Torch there. Jason, what are your thoughts? Like, I know you love goalies. You're a bit of a goaltender,
retired, but yeah.
Yeah, retired, but Carter Hart's play this year.
There's two elements of what I've seen from him that I love. It's, A, the on-ice execution and style differences, and then the mental side of him. I've always been really impressed by his mental side, years ahead of his time for his age, and the way he processes, the way he prepares, the way he deals with, you know, being a goalie in Philadelphia and being a goalie in the NHL and being a goalie that wore his country's jersey. I mean, there's a lot there. So for us, when we go, oh, yeah, you played for World Juniors, you know, it's not that huge of a deal. In Canada, it's everything. I mean, they have TV 20,000
people in the building when you're playing and you're 16, 17, 18 years old. It's a pretty big deal.
Pitting the hopes of a country on a 20-year-old, right? Yeah. That's tough. And obviously playing that position, which is the last line, and you got to be different to play it because of the pressure that comes with it. And it's a weird position in sports. Like Rouse, you were an elite athlete, and elite athletes want to dictate and control. And a goalie is an elite athlete, and that mentality to control a game because you pick that position, which is so consequential, but yet you get on the field of play and you don't have control. Like, that's a tough thing for a goalie. And I think Carter's taken some of that and taken it off the ice and go, I'm going to control everything up to the point where I can't control it. And that's where his preparation comes in. And I think this year, I talked to him over the summer, and he went home and he parked the last 2 years. Went out to California, played golf, played tennis with his buddies, reconnected after the pandemic and all those things. And I really felt like he parked the 2 years better this summer than he did prior. Didn't let one bleed into another. And he came in this year on, I mean, no preseason games in first 8 games to put up a .949 save percentage. I said, incredible. I was like, shit, dude, you're never playing preseason again.
Yeah, right? Why would you?
And that's really hard for a goalie. Let's face it, practice is not designed for a goalie.
Right.
So, I mean, he's just been so good. And even though it's weird to this point, 27 games in or whatever it is, he's let in some really leaky goals and ones that I know he doesn't like. You know, whether it's the one off the end boards or one that climbs his leg or, you know, but he hasn't let that bother him at all. He's been able to really reset mentally in game. They've given up the first goal a ton.
Yeah.
And when you're a team that has trouble scoring and they score about 2.4 goals a game and you give up the first goal, it's a hard spot for a goalie. You go, I can't let anything else in if we got a shot. And he's approached it with, you know, just pucks as they come, save by save and situation by situation. And to me, he's the anchor of the team going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get a lot of pieces here in front of him, but if you can check that box in sports, it's like the quarterback in football.
Yeah.
You go into an offseason, you go, check, I'm good there. Yeah. Everything else is a little easier to deal with, and I think he's just been excellent. I think he's a great ambassador for the team and a great citizen of the city. I think he's just a good kid, good man. So I love having him here.
Yeah, and to your point of him, his maturity level –
off the charts.
When even, you know, when he came in, you know, you're like, He looks like he's 15, mm-hmm. but
he wasn't shaving when he came.
Yeah, I know. No, but he's like a veteran. You know, yeah. you talk to him, you hear what he says, and I spend quite a bit of time with him, and he's just such a pro.
Well, Ness, you know what he said when he came in, like the goalie graveyard of Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, his first response to that at 19 years old was, I have nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with me. Yeah. I thought that was
amazing perspective, right?
Oh, man, what a great answer.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you're right. Like, what do you have to do with Roman Čechmánek or right. Tommy Soderstrom or Dominic Roussel? Nothing.
Yeah.
So why carry their burden?
Yeah.
And he didn't. True. And I think I thought that was really cerebral and way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And to your point there, like, you got that box checked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of organizations are trying to find that box and check it, right? I mean, you have that, say, franchise goalie. Then the rest of the challenge is, like, building the rest of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting bodies back. You know, Lotz is back. I talk about the rest of the pieces and say just say Lotz's impact since his return and having that leadership role filled.
I think he means so much. You know, he's not a super dynamic player. And when they re-signed him, it was in season when they extended him and they decided not to move him at the deadline. You know, talking about it at the time, I remember, was, you know, why do you do that here? You can get something for him. But I just thought the cost per acquisition to fill that hole would have been more than what you paid him. And you have the known commodity with Lotz. To me, I said this on the pod, I just don't think that it was any mistake that they close out that game the other night against Colorado with Lotz there.
Yeah.
I think he's just calming. It's when Niskanen was here, right?
Yeah.
Niskanen was not Bobby Orr. Some will believe that because of what happened when he left. But to me, what he did, the best thing that he did was in a game in the second period that was getting away from you, he'd go out and give you 3-0 burger shifts in a row. Where maybe you didn't do anything, but the other team didn't do anything. Just calm the game down. You played it from the top of the circles in the middle of the ice, and nothing happened. And then you lose that ability to have that guy that can just take a game down 3 gears and slow it down and go, okay, we're not going to grab momentum when they're going 100 miles an hour, but maybe we can grab momentum if we can get them down to 60. And then that's what he would do. I think Lotz does that a lot.
Yeah.
Plus, you know how he is. He cuts. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
Knows when to go funny, when to be serious. Great timing in that regard. I think he's a great leader, and he's a guy that clearly has a ton of respect in the room.
Yep.
Yes.
And I think respect is earned. This guy came up to the NHL, played here for a year, then went down and rode the buses for a year to figure out how to be an NHL player.
Yeah.
If you don't gain respect by doing that and didn't bitch 1 second about it, at least not publicly. I know I would have bitched up and down publicly and behind the scenes. But this guy went down there, took care of business, came back. This is what I need to be an NHL player. This is what I'm going to be. And mad respect for that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I had him actually down with the Phantoms there when he had that stint. It was more than a stint. It was a full year season. And to your point, he had an amazing attitude. He came
put
down,
his head
he
down, right?
Like, yep. He was like every other guy on that team. He was trying to earn a spot back with the big club and put his head down, got a ton of minutes, reps.
Yep. Learned who he was.
Yeah, exactly. It's his humbling experience playing, you know, obviously playing a bigger role down there, but knowing that he's probably going to work into a lesser role with the big club. But
that's hard too, Riles.
It's hard to do.
First to get rounder, on a bus right? See the per diems way small, all that.
Yeah.
The
meals
suck. The hotels are half as good.
Yeah.
You know, that's a first round pick. It's hard to do.
Quiznos?
Yeah. No.
Ruth Chris or Quiznos? I don't know.
I like Quiznos when I'm totally buckled next to it.
Well, listen, I'm in the North American Hockey League now with the Philadelphia Rebels. And yeah.
Domino's. What if
we
had no?
We did get Domino's the one night. You're right. We did.
Well, they had like a 2-for-1 special, right?
Yeah, right.
You guys go to like the blue light special
actually,
buffets
you know,
early.
They get Applebee's, but they only get the option of the healthy food.
Yeah,
they give them usually on the way somewhere, and then afterwards is usually like subs or something.
Subs. Yeah.
You don't get the sodium special from Applebee's.
No,
you don't. You don't pee for like 4 days after eating.
Yeah, no. I don't know if they are really healthy, but they seem healthy. It's like the grilled chicken with the.
It's relative. Know, healthier.
Yeah, healthier. Yeah, it's not chicken but, fingers and.
No, they don't. It's not too bad. It's better than some of the stuff that you used to eat way back in the day in the American League, man. Like, it was bad.
It was total shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
When Hershey, we had to eat it, though, those the big, they had a cheese steak.
Oh, I remember that place. Yeah, it was
Shakey's.
Yeah,
Shakey's. Our boy Shakey. He was in the. He was a goalie in the Flyers organization, actually. But anyway, yeah, you're right. It is a little different getting on the bus after.
Yeah, it's humbling.
Yeah, it is.
That's good though. I like being humbled's a good thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys need that. Honestly, you see so many egos, and the guys don't really understand where they fit in. You know, they always think that they're better than they are, or not as mature and developed as they are. I think that probably could happen to a lot more guys, and you know, bring them back down to earth a little bit, shake them up, and then they're probably not that easy to do with contracts and the way you know the waivers and all that stuff works. But JVR back, I mean, how much do you see him contributing, and how long do you see him in a Flyers uniform? You think he's
when's the deadline?
When is the deadline?
Yeah,
baller.
When is it's the probably early March. Yeah, around then.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, you hate to lose a guy, especially when. You know, you're taking 55 per 82 goals out of the lineup with Dan Atkinson, and you're struggling to score, so you could use a guy like that. Helps, obviously, on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
And just a total pro.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The guy, I think he's a lot like you, Roz, where he's just learned his body more and more and more to protect it and get the most out of it. I mean, that guy takes such good care of himself.
Yeah, he does.
Everything he puts in, he's conscious of, his sleep and all that, which is so important. I think being out the 6 or 7 weeks could be good for him because there's less wear and tear. It's not like he had a knee that could recur. You know?
Right.
It's the hand. I mean, the hand is everything. But, you know, being out, if he can get back in, get his hands and timing and everything back and be playing well, I mean, he can help a team.
Yeah.
Really help a team because he's going to fit in anywhere.
Yeah, he scores some timely goals around the net, right?
Everybody needs net front
for
guys,
sure,
right?
Yeah, big body.
I mean, him and Pavelski are the two best deflectors of the puck I've seen in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So I think he fits in with anybody. So there'll be a market for him. Are you going to get a 2023 first? Probably not because that's gold currency right now.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, if you can get a second and a fourth for him, an expiring deal, you're going to eat half of it. Maybe you get a mid-level prospector and a pick. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and give him a shot, you know.
Yeah.
Give him a chance.
Yeah, I'd like to see that guy go on a good run.
Good man. Good,
he gets trapped in Toronto for all those years, you know. And like, that team can't get out of the first round
because
they have no goaltending.
Yeah.
Then you pin your hopes to Matt Murray, and what are you doing? But I don't know. I just don't know you can pay roster construction-wise so much money to four guys and expect to be able to build a team in this sport. You got to be able to build a team.
Yeah, hasn't seemed to work well for them yet. So.
They're in Edmonton, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, if you got no D in goaltending, you're never going to get through four rounds of the playoffs.
No chance. No.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And then, you know, obviously Atkinson's still, you know, banged up. You know, fully healthy Flyers team. I mean, still struggling scoring goals.
Yep. I mean, they weren't going to be a team that was going to go up and down the ice with Couturier, Atkinson, and JVR anyway. They don't have that guy that you can chuck over the boards where the other team goes, oh, fuck, he's on the ice, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you need one of those guys. You had G for years. And even when G kind of faded off a little bit, like he was still so smart the way he played.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, I'm not as explosive or fast as I was, but I'm playing chess. You dickheads are playing checkers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, for
like,
sure.
Like, I'll trap you. And
that was one of the things we've talked about. I mean, I don't know where you're – well, Johnny Gaudreau is a different story, but I'm talking about G. You still need to replace his points, and I'm not sure we did.
Oh, I'm sure we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to be nice about it.
Well said.
And that
you
were
trying to soft pedal there a little bit.
I was, man. You know, but that going further with that is like, I just felt like, in my opinion, like we had to get Johnny Gaudreau. That's just my opinion. Yeah,
I'm on the other side of that.
You're on the other side.
Yeah.
So we've had a few people be on the other side of that.
One, I love the player.
He brings definitely going to put more people in your seats. Two, it makes it look like you are opening the checkbook like we were all told. And he's been an all-star his whole career, and he's banging on the door to come here.
Yeah. And he wanted to come here. It's a rare combination of a really good player that wanted to come here in a situation where this isn't exactly beachfront property right now, right?
Right.
So you go, how can you not capitalize on that? And I thought it probably took a prudent approach to not do it because it's very tempting. I love the player. And the year he came off of last year, I mean, he was a plus 60 last year.
Yeah,
that's insane.
That line with Lindholm and Kachuk was perfect for him. But to me, there's too many problems in the homestead to be putting the vanity bathroom in right now. And he was the vanity bathroom. Like, I got leaky plumbing. I got electrical issues. I got all kinds of stuff going wrong in this house. I can't go put in, you know, a brand new travertine heated tile shower right now. Yeah. That's Gaudreau. Yeah, but this is Riles.
I mean, you do things differently.
Riles ain't putting those dogs on cold tile, right? But like, and he's 29 and he's a great player. And yeah, he would have been, I got caught up in it around free agency too, where I'm going, I'd love to watch him every night. Like, who wouldn't, right? You'd be a fool not to. And the story is great for him to come home, being a guy that played, you know, grew up playing here, tier one and everything. But I just didn't think it was the right time.
We've heard people say that.
Yeah, and it's the same thing, you know, my same approach was kind of with DeBrincat too, even though you had to trade for him. And the package wasn't that exorbitant. I thought it'd be higher than it was without Otto did. But I was going, I'm not going to give up anything if the guy can just walk. And they're different because Gaudreau would have locked in.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think it was time for that, coupled with the 2023 draft coming. And that's a crapshoot. I mean, even if you're the worst team, you got an 18% chance of landing number one, which is, you know, basically, and what the math tells me, if you got an 18%, you got an 82% chance of not getting it.
Yeah.
We always look at the
simple math.
Like, that's not, they're not great odds, but I just didn't think it was the right time to do that. Unfortunately, I wish the organization was in a different spot where they could add a sports car in the driveway.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I don't think it was the right time to do that, even though I'm sentimental to the situation.
Yeah.
Right. I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been battling that one back and forth a little bit. And then he goes to Columbus, and they're like, you know, bottom of the barrel. It's like,
bad. Holy cow. Did you see the game last night?
Tage Thompson.
How about that dude, right?
Yeah, four in the first period.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not a bad shooter.
He had 6 points. He had 5 goals and an assist in 10.5 minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
That's the most efficient ice time I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I played a lot of those beer league games. As the goalie in beer league, I'm looking over the bench going, we don't have a fucking backup. I played against Riles one time. I'm playing for, I forget which charity it was, with Eric Tye.
The guy with one arm.
I played against him growing up. He was on That's Incredible. And I'm in the room before the game. We're getting ready to play the Flyers alumni. And I'm getting dressed. I got my bottoms on. And I go, yo, Tye, where's the other goalies? He goes, you're it.
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean? He goes, you're the only one. I go, dude, you don't play against the alumni with one goalie. These guys, like, don't come in the zone and just come in and shoot and leave.
Yeah.
They just cycle you down low, burn your quads through your pants, right?
Yeah, right.
And then you get, like, 82 shots, and you're, like, dead to the world. Then I had to fight the animal. I had to fight Frankie because I talked shit about him on the radio. I said, if you can skate from goal line to goal line without falling.
Oh, boy.
He came after you?
Oh, yeah. He had the jersey over my head, and my mask went flying.
No way. Oh, that'd have been something.
And Riles was nowhere in sight to fucking bail me out.
I don't know. Sitting on the bench,
laughing. Like, look at this idiot. He had the balls to say something about the animal.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
I thought maybe when Frankie steps over the red line and fires the blaster right at the goalie's head.
He came in on me at one point, like, and tried to just take a bomb from the top of the circle and totally flubbed it. I laughed at him. It dribbled in and I covered it. I'm like, well, he's using like a PPMG 5030, like a freaking hunk of tree.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, dude, get a composite.
You should have seen
the other night, Riles and I had to play in a game.
Yeah.
And the goalie was just right under his skin, boy.
Oh, yeah.
He was wound. I haven't seen him wound up since he played only maybe one other time. The guy was chirping. I mean, he was trying to be funny, but someone was getting a little wound up.
Well, I played this guy before, and he was doing the same thing.
I said to him, actually, when he said one thing, I looked at him, we're face off, and I said, you're going to get one right in the throat in a minute.
Yeah.
You better, like,
dangler, buddy.
Back down, and he kept going. Right, you did rip one off his mask, I think, or tried to.
I tried to, yeah. I mean, it's men's league, and I got thick skin. Like, I've been chirped before, obviously, but, like, I'm like, God damn. I'm like, dude, lay off. This is men's league. I mean, like, dude.
I wanted to go to, like, the old man league, but I was like, I can't do it. Like, they have, like, over 40s, you know? And I get calls all the time. Like, hey, can you fill in tonight over 40? And I'm like, nope, can't do it. Nope, can't do it. Because, like, I'm going to just look like a donkey if I go. Because some dude's going to, some fucking bender's going to come in, like, on a breakaway. And as a goalie, he's just showing me, this dude's going high glove. He's locked in. And then he's going to miss it. And he's going to go low block. And I'm going to look like the dick, right?
On the ice through the stick.
Yeah, and I'm going to be like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it was pretty funny. That was
I've taken enough concussions. I'm out.
Is that why you retired?
Yeah.
Concussions. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to make it to 50. My hips are gassed. I got to get them done.
Oh, really?
And I played one game after 50, and I caught one right square, like in the mouth area. Oh. It wasn't a hard shot, but it caught me square and flat, and I could smell the sulfur and everything. I was fucked up for a couple weeks. And at my height, like, head's in the danger zone.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, let's face it. And I've had a ton over my career playing, and I think enough's enough. It's scrambled enough.
I don't blame you.
Sunglasses all the time because the
light. Oh, yeah, man. Once you start screwing with the head, you got to make some serious decisions.
Yeah, I mean. I'm sure I'll play again. I'm on the ice coaching for my kids' team.
Oh, yeah,
so
good.
Oh, cool.
That's enough for now, and I'll probably get back out and play in that old man league just to feel it a little bit, but for now,
Nasty and I are in the old man league.
35 and over.
Yeah, still. Old man.
But they dropped ours to 38.
Yeah, really?
I'm like, what? We couldn't get enough guys, right?
Oh, okay.
Well, there's still teams that have guys under 35.
Yeah, sure.
We know,
yeah,
especially when everybody comes home from college and all that.
Yeah,
shit.
Squeezing a few ringers.
Yeah.
You bring up the concussion issue. I mean, Voracek.
Jakey.
God,
dealing with that is messed up, and sounds like it doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be it for him.
What a shame, hey? Just like that.
I'm sick for him because is there a better dude, right?
Oh he's a
that never,
beauty.
Never advertised how good of a dude he is.
Right.
Like, you know where I worked in NBA 1 down there?
Yeah.
And every game, win, lose, no matter what, that dude had a group there. Not of friends, but of wounded warriors, special needs, something, all the time. And he would come into that room. They could have got their ass kicked 8-1. He was in that room shaking everybody's hand, taking pictures, talking with them, giving them real time. And I used to embarrass him because I'd be like, I know you don't tell anybody about it, but I do. And the fact that you do it and don't tell anybody about the stuff you do makes it even more genuine. I feel horrible for him because he was such a good player.
Yeah.
Like puck protection ability.
Oh, yeah. Like, explosive.
That's like a Czech Republic big Jager ass.
Yeah,
thing,
right.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And he was so good at possession and great career. I hope it's not over for him. And frankly, he's one of those kind of characters you need in the game.
Yeah,
that's got the balls to sit up there and say something.
Yeah,
because we always complain. Media always, why even talk to him? They don't say anything. It's all cliches. We got to work hard, cycle, get pucks deep, blah blah blah. He'll go up there and say something, and then the media gives him shit for saying something. It's like, which one do you want?
Yeah, right.
And he will say whatever he's thinking.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's why I loved him.
I used to laugh. There was this guy, I don't know who the guy was, but there was a guy that sat about four rows back to my left when where I was on the bench right there where you and I would always see each other in warm-ups and talk. And this guy was about four or five rows back, and he would just give it to the boys. We're on a power play if we didn't score.
Oh.
And he would say, he would be yelling, and you could hear him because it'd be, you could just hear the guy and Jake would be like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You think we're not trying?
Jesus. You're not helping.
You would always single this guy out, and I think the guy loved it because
he
said it. But
he got a pension.
Yeah, we were in Columbus. It might have been my last year when I was with the team. We were at Columbus, and there was a guy right beside our bench, like second row, and his little daughter was with him. I felt bad for her because she was upset. He's just giving it to Jake. You fucking traitor. You traitor. And he finally turns around. He goes, you guys fucking traded me. He's like, are you kidding me? He goes, shut the fuck up. And he goes, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Your dad's a fucking idiot.
I didn't trade me.
And I'm like standing right beside him, and I'm like, it's okay. Like, to the little girl. She's like starting to cry. So he's like, give her.
You're like, here's a stick.
I came back, gave her a stick.
Oh, you went big and gave her a twig, huh?
And and for Jake, that's huge because he doesn't go through many sticks. Skates, yes. Sticks, no. I made all his sticks at that time. And he used the stick till he broke it.
Yeah.
You know, like he was not hard on the stick budget, but he says, you traded me. Columbus traded him to Philly. It was pretty funny. And then he goes back there. But Jake was awesome. I'm sad for him. Hopefully, like you said, you know, maybe takes the rest of this year and sees you know.
Yeah. He's in the last year of his deal, correct?
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. That's so, right. I forgot about that. One more after that. Oh, he does?
One more?
Okay, baller says
well, shit, then collect the dough and just chill.
Yeah.
You know, frick, you earned it.
No doubt.
I mean, look at the guy's point per game numbers. Yeah. And every, I mean, he's one of those guys that I don't think will be remembered for the player that he was.
Right.
Yeah. He's
a fantastic player.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Even better, dude. Man, he cracks me. We had him on here, man. He's just like a cartoon character.
I just love how disheveled he looked all the time. It was great.
Oh, man, he is classic.
That fucking hairdo was just out of control with the beard and everything.
He comes cruising in. He's got a $5,000 suit on, a $1,000 pair of shoes, and his hair is everywhere.
Yeah.
And his beard's awful. Yeah.
He looks like he was groomed by Castaway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys would just give it to him, too. They'd be like, oh, my God, like clean up. He's like, why? I don't fucking need to.
Yeah,
you know, like just like okay, man, whatever. But beauty
yeah.
For sure.
Shifting gears, I wanted to ask you your opinion on the whole big rig Pat Maroon thing the other day with the Jack Edwards.
Jack Edwards, such a jerk.
What a jerk off, eh? Like,
there's a lot. I've been a media member for a long time, but there's a lot of people in the media that need the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
He's right at the top of the list.
He has been for a long time, I feel.
Yeah, he's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fine.
Well,
like,
wait, tell me how you really feel.
But it's fine to, like, be critical of a guy's play and base it on, you know, your opinion, however educated or uneducated it is. But to go there, I think, is just so far below line. Like, I worked at WIP for years. I was management there, and that was not an easy management job. I mean, you had Eskin, Cataldi, and the place was built on ego of the talent.
Yeah, right.
Tom Bigby did it that way on purpose. Yeah. I want my talent to have ego.
Yeah.
So he built their egos up.
Yeah.
But, and they were very critical of the teams. I sat through 100 meetings where executives from teams came in and said, we're fine with you criticizing us, but you cannot get personal.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because that was the thing. And what Jack Edwards did was be over the line of, it was a hack job. And I think it's embarrassing for the industry and embarrassing. I mean, he's not embarrassed because he gets attention out of it and he clearly doesn't care. I thought it was bad. I thought Maroon handled it publicly.
I thought it was amazing how he handled it. Yeah,
I'm hearing that behind the scenes he didn't handle it quite as.
Oh, really? Okay.
Right. Well,
he was red-assed.
It was,
and he should be. If I'm him, I request to meet the guy face to face.
Sure.
And I'm not saying get physical or anything, but like, dude, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's funny, Jason. You like in locker rooms, like, you know, speaking to Jake, like, not in the best shape, but. The guys were here in the room. We could joke with each other. That's not something you say over.
Never.
Like,
not on national television.
You don't do. No. I wouldn't say that in front of people I didn't know that we joke around with a guy, you know, in a room.
Yeah, you give
something.
A guy shit, you know?
Yeah. You know, for fun. But that's just. You can't do that.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't do that.
It wasn't just like one little blurb. It was like, 15-20 seconds. Yeah. It was just dragged it out and couldn't stop himself.
Yeah, I thought it was really low class. But again, considering the source,
I'm
not shocked at all.
I thought there had been like a little bit of cancel culture action happening after that.
I thought
the league would step in because of all these things, you know, body shaming. Yeah. It's a real thing, right? I mean, it's like
it's going on everywhere. Yeah, like, I mean, I got young kids and, you know, you guys do too. I mean, it's like the shit that goes on, the things that people say now with no repercussions at all, like it's got an effect on people. I have daughters. I mean, it's these girls are brutal.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
So does Nast. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough world out there, but that's the stuff that, you know, can be avoided, right? I mean, it's like.
It's unnecessary.
Unnecessary. It was just like.
Well, then, like, people hear that and they think it's okay.
Yeah. I know.
You know? And it's like. And for the people that think it's funny, like, you need your ass kicked too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's not funny.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny about it. So. I just think it's really bad form. And frankly, I blame their employer, too. The employer should have to step in, suspend the guy, do something. Show them that there's repercussions.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
And they don't.
Do message sending,
Yep, they don't do it. No. It's a joke.
I thought that I would see something the next day. You know what I mean? Like, after Patty was very good with what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought at least Jack would come out with something, or statement.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah.
Be honest, I thought the Bruins should have too. I agree with you. They should have come out and said, "Hey, we don't endorse what Jack said. We think it was wrong." Blah blah blah.
Right.
And whether you get a quote from Jack Edwards or not, I thought the Bruins should have come out and supported a player in the PA.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but that was interesting. But I know Patty. I coached him. You know, he's a good guy. I don't know what was done, you know, or said behind the scenes, but what he did publicly, I thought was classy.
Well, his PR group did the right job there. Yeah. You know, he was probably pissed when he heard about it. And
sure.
They said, look, that part is what it is. Let's do something good with it now.
Yeah.
And Patty being smart enough and savvy enough at this point in his career, maybe earlier in his career, he wouldn't have done that.
He would have not done that, I'm sure.
You know, but let's turn it into something positive and create a little awareness. And, you know, and he did. And good on him for doing it.
Yeah. There's definitely a silver lining and a positive out of that whole thing. But
there's so much negativity in the world. Like, we don't need to add to that.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. You know, shifting back to the Flyers, you know, outside of Carter Hart, which is a highlight of the season, you know, say Torts, anything else that's jumping out to you that you're liking? TK, yeah.
Yeah. He just came in such good physical condition. Like, I hated seeing him go out for that period of time. Yeah. Such a nothing burger injury kind of thing. But to me, I've always felt, like, you guys have been around him. I've always felt he's a guy that wants to be pushed and wants to be coached hard.
Yep.
And I think with G leaving has really opened up a space of air for him as a leader. Maybe when G was here, and this isn't a knock against G, it's just the way it was. But without G here, I think he's grabbed a little bit more of that leadership thing. And I think that's good for him. Like, I think he should end up with a letter on his jersey.
Yeah.
Because I think it invests him more. He's been a leader every level he's been at. He's been a captain everywhere he's been until he got to the NHL. And I think just think he's worked really hard and been really receptive to the coaching. I think he's a – you know him personally better than I do, but – I think he's a pleaser. He wants to please people. And that goes in how he's being coached, too. I mean, TK's on the PK.
Right.
I mean, did you ever think you'd say that?
No.
I didn't either. He's pretty good. No. I blocked two shots last night in succession.
Yep, I saw. Yeah, I was there.
And he's working his tail off. I really like the way he's come in. He's always been such a chill dude, right? I mean, they're guys, I've been doing that job for a long time, 15 years. And there's guys like in their rookie or second year, they come in and I'll talk to them in between periods or whatever, and they look like they're going to fucking faint. Like, they're nervous. I'm like, you're just talking to me, dude. Nobody's listening anyway, right? He comes in first time. He's like, yeah, what's up? Puts his feet up. How you doing? You know, totally chill.
Yeah.
Like he's 34, been through the run with the media, totally cool, comfortable with himself. I'm like, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because, like, I swear, Nolan Patrick, I thought he was going to fall asleep on his stick one night. I'm interviewing Patty, and he's got his stick upside down, and his head's on the blade. And I think he's half asleep. He never said shit all anyway. But, and I get done the interview, and I look over at Zach Hill, and he goes, I'll talk to him.
Yeah.
I go, don't worry about it. But, like, Cartsy was the same way. Like, you'd see Cartsy in the hallway and stuff, and we'd be shooting the shit about NASCAR or whatever.
Yeah.
Great dude. As soon as I put a microphone in front of him, it was like, I'm not giving you dick.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to call me in here again.
That's Carts for sure.
Yeah.
What makes you feel any better? He turned us down for Nasty Knuckles, so he just, they don't
he
want
said
to.
He wants to wait till he's
he
done.
He wants to wait till he's done. But he don't want to talk.
But dude, that dude's never going to be done.
Yeah.
Drafted in 03. Like, you're still ticking.
Got another 5 years left on him, easy.
Yeah.
Greek god body.
Yeah.
Just ripped to shreds.
Yeah. Built,
still have
built
never
for
seen
hockey.
Him take a slap shot.
Yeah.
He just takes that nasty ripper, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Jeez. Deceiving shot. Yeah, I like the TK play for sure. I mean, he's been gold
Hayes
all
too.
Year. Hayes, yeah.
Yeah, Hayes looking.
I think that Torts did something brilliant with Hayes. That move to the wing maybe doesn't look brilliant in the grand scheme of things, but I didn't think Hayes was ticketed to the wing for another year or two until he was like 33 and really couldn't move. Like, Hayes's not the most fleet of foot guy.
Yeah,
like, we all know that.
He's deceptive though. Like. You know, with his,
because he can go slow and burst.
Yeah, right.
And I think he's got, you know, one of the top puck protection guys in the league.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at the guy's got, 28 points in 27 games. It's the best statistical start to his career. And we were talking to Torts the other night, and he said this. He said, you know, earlier in my career, I would have died on the hill of getting him to do the right things defensively away from the puck. He goes, but he's 30 years old. Like, he is what he is in that regard. So how can I get him to help my team the most? Well, I got to accentuate his strengths, which is offense and, you know, playmaking. And I got to mitigate his weakness, which is defending down below the bottom of the circles. So make him a winger. Plus, as a center, he was a guy that always played on the periphery anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a drive the middle
right,
kind of player.
Right. No.
He play makes everything off the wall. So it makes sense. And boy, does he look good. And as long as Hazy didn't take it personally, like, I'm a center, you know?
Yeah.
And accepting of the wing, from which I understand he is, because it's only going to help him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like, do people look at Drew and go, you're not a center anymore? You ain't shit. No, you're on the wing now. You had 102 points, by the way, on the wing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at it, you go.
Right.
At some point, you go, you appreciate the lessened responsibility in the D zone to help the team as best you can.
Yeah.
And Hayes is, I mean, he's piling up points on a team that doesn't have a lot of NHL talent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to do.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it
you is. Get the top lines defending you every night. So, got to give him credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I agree. Another guy I'll mention, maybe two of them, but Zach McHugh in the games that I've seen or at least gone live to see, like, he might be like one of the better players on the ice. This fucking guy is like, he's grinding.
He's working.
He's
like,
the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, Energizer Bunny. He's making shit happen. I know he's obviously... he's not gonna score you a bunch of goals, but like he's generating energy. Like again, with the team that they have right now, at least like there's something there. And then you know the Delorier, I think what, seven fights,
seven
which is
fights, yeah.
More than 12 teams, you know, total. Combined. And then yeah. I think there's like what was like three or four teams that didn't even have seven fights combined. Yeah. Not that seven fights is, I mean, early in the season is actually quite a bit, but at least doing their role, staying in their lane, bringing what they can. Just the, I think the issue is always about scoring goals. But you know, there's some pieces there to be.
Yeah.
Well, there's two guys that, like, here's your job. And like I always say in team sport, whether coaching or watching or whatever, like, do your job.
Do your job.
As soon as you try to do somebody else's job, now I got two dudes not doing their job.
Yeah.
And like, go out there and be who you like. McEwen, like. Watching him, he's just a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't look like it has any control, but it does because he's pinpoint. But he's like, look, I know I'm not going to go out there and dangle around five guys and snipe you, but I'm going to go to forecheck the balls off you and create a turnover and create opportunity. And the last couple games, we've seen a requisite fourth line with a guy like Patrick Brown in the middle or Lazinski and then Delarue and McEwen. And the three of them together – I think can be really effective. Can almost be like that Clutterbuck, Zizekas, Matt Martin.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Where you're not going to get scored on, but they're going to create a lot of energy. For
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
And those guys will do that. And just the presence of those two. And I know the fighting thing is much debated, and you know there's a generation that believes it has no place in the game. I think it still has a place in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously we're not emptying the benches anymore, and I don't love the predetermined fight. And I don't like having to answer for a clean hit fight either. But if it's organic, it's got a place in the game because having guys like that, you know, having guys like Riles makes you feel bigger.
Oh, 100%.
They make you feel protected. Yeah. It's a reality. You know what I mean? And, you know, I know that when Risto was first acquired, I was going back and forth with G about it. And I just said, what does a guy like that do for you? And he's like, people don't understand. There's no analytic that can tell you what a guy like, because if we're down at one end of the ice and we're getting the shit kicked out of us physically, crushed in front of the net, everything, and then they go down the other end and it's like they're at the country club, he goes, that there's an effect on us that way.
Mm-hmm.
When a guy like that is in the opposition, you know he's there. You got to have your head on a swivel because he will step up at a blue line and take you out.
Radko Gudas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like Goody exactly. Was great at it.
Oh, yeah.
You have your head on a swivel when you're playing against Florida. Because
you knew that he was coming, and sometimes he may be over the line.
He may be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the reputation was well earned.
Trust me, that's in your mind.
Oh, big time.
Player,
big time,
you know that.
Uh-huh.
Ronaldo was the same way, unpredictable.
Yep.
Even Steve Downey back in the day. There was, I mean, obviously been a few of them over time just through the Flyers organization. But it's the variable that you just can't quantify, right?
It's to be honest with you, it's a winning variable.
Yeah, it is, man. It's
you have to have it.
X factors. It's like not about the fight. it's about the psychology of accountability, right? It's like knowing that that guy's on the ice or on the bench that you will have to actually maybe deal with this, answer the bell somewhere down the line.
I got this question the other day when I was doing the podcast about, you know, the Flyers self-identifying as a tough team and a hard team to play against. And the guy said, why can't they self-identify as a highly skilled team? I said, well, because first of all, you can go out, you can self-identify and get toughness. It's easy to get toughness, easier than to go out and get high-end skill.
Yeah.
You have to get the high-end skill, but you got to have both. Yeah. If you want to win and win anything, you got to have both.
Sure.
So, I mean, we saw it with Tampa. They didn't. They had no grit, and Tort's team swept them. And then they went out and they got Gaudreau and they got, you know, Coleman, and they go out and they went back-to-back cups and the rig.
Yeah.
You know, there's no mistake that helped them.
Right.
Every skill guy on that team felt a lot more protected with those guys in the lineup.
Yeah, no doubt. Sure. Well, even like adding like Corey Perry, he's like
100,
but he's like, you know, he's feisty, nasty. Hard with the stick.
He may be the dirtiest guy in the league in the last 20 years, 100%. To be honest with you.
Yeah,
even more than Danny.
Yeah,
a little unpredictable, right? Yeah, exactly. And you know what you're up against. Is he the toughest, best fighter? No, but he's hard to play against. And you got a couple of those guys.
Kessler was the same way, right?
Yeah, right.
Just nasty. Just nasty what they would do to you. I mean, do anything to win. You know,
you remember when Corey Perry was playing in Anaheim and they were playing the Kings, and he and Jeff Carter from the London, Ontario.
Yeah.
And Jeff, there's a TV timeout. Jeff's got his gloves sitting there, and Corey Perry reaches over, squirts water in both of his gloves. Yeah.
just soaks up, just
a dick. And Jeff's like, "Come on, man." Yeah. but he does way worse than that. But I just always thought that was like,
gentle.
Yeah, if he could have whipped it out and pissed at him, he would have.
Yeah, true. That's a good point. But I just thought like he'll do anything, you know, like to fucking.
And it's his buddy too, right?
Yeah, right.
Like it's like I'm gonna do anything to get you on tilt.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah you got to have those.
I love dudes like that.
Yeah, you got to have
those
guys.
They're funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you before we let you go here. You've worked with a ton of players, different personalities, coaches. Who is your favorite player, coach? Anybody?
Players, easy. Yeah. That's as easy as it gets, and that's Danny Briere.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Fair enough. Yeah.
You guys know him. I mean, he's just such a class. I say this to his face. Like, I don't make any bones about it. I've told him before. He's just such a classy guy.
Yeah.
As a player, he has never changed from player to post-career to business operations to now hockey operations. He hasn't changed at all. Mm-hmm. And he just gives you honest and answers with integrity and delivers them in a way that's never combative or demeaning. He's just right there. You know, he's just a good person. So I've always said Danny's been my best interaction, not only in hockey, in all sport.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, hockey players are the best. The only reason I still do it is because the players are as good as they are.
Yeah.
If I was covering baseball or basketball, I would have quit long ago.
Yeah, right.
Because the players are great guys. Yeah. Like you guys have been around this game your whole life. The sport does not let you get all big-headed. It just doesn't – the room knocks you down.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big element of it. But yeah, Danny's was always great. I've always found a lot of the French Canadian guys I get along with well.
Yeah,
Gagné
was
awesome.
Yeah, great guy.
You know what I mean? There's only been a few guys that I haven't really meshed well with. Like for some reason, I never meshed well with Kobe, with Braden Coburn. I just felt like he just had a look on his face, like resting bitch face with me, and it was just like, I don't want to answer anything you have to say. You know, so I never meshed with him. So I just started to avoid it. And Ghost was a guy too.
Ghost, yeah.
In the beginning, it was fine, but I was really critical of him after year two. I thought the league could adapt to him, and I wasn't buying into a lot of the hype because, I saw a guy that was incredibly. What's the right word to describe his game? Theatrical or dramatic, the way he played.
Yeah, right.
So there were these crazy plays, diving at the blue line to keep it in like a shortstop, and crazy goals. But I just felt like in the D end, like, what a mess.
There's a lot of holes there.
And couldn't win a board battle to save his ass, right? Yeah. So I was critical. I was on the radio at the time, and I guess he heard it, and he didn't like it. So whatever. Yeah. I mean, no skin off my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you have to deal with that in your position, right? It's like you got to be honest, critical. Yeah,
I mean, I don't do the radio show anymore, but you know, I was on the radio for 4 hours, 20 hours a week, you know, yeah. So you say some things, you get asked, you give your opinion, and you stand by it. And I mean, there were things that I said on the air that people loved, some that people hated. G and I became closer because of things I said on the radio. I was a big supporter of his.
Yeah.
And he used to ask me about the radio show quite a bit. And then, you know, I mean, I had Phillies players come up to me when I was in the clubhouse one time asking me if I was the guy that used to do the imitation of Gabe Kapler.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And he's like, can you do it? And I did it for like three of the guys. And they're like, keep doing it. Because I did this whole like George Takei thing. Like, yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Gabe Kapler. Oh, bye. You know, that whole thing. Yeah, right. And the players like fucking loved it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So, but yeah, you never know who your audience is. And all the players, they claim like, oh, we don't read the papers, we don't listen to the radio.
Everybody,
bullshit.
Yeah. Everybody's reading.
They can quote you for
check fall in the Twitter.
Twitter
feeds.
Yeah.
So he had me. Well, Jake had me blocked. So I got caught up in one of his blocking spades. Yeah. And I never said anything about him, but like I was on a tweet that somebody criticized him, so he blocked everybody on it. So I called him out. I texted him and called him out, and he unblocked me.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I didn't say shit about you. And he's like, oh, I must have blocked you by accident. And he unblocked me. So yeah.
I think a lot of those guys listen and watch more media than they definitely lead on to.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, they want to hear the scoops. They want to know what's being said.
Yeah, eventually, like if you become friendly with somebody, well, you said this, and I'm like, I thought you didn't listen.
Yeah,
right. And they can quote you chapter and verse.
Yeah, you know?
So it's like okay, like when I got denied by Ghost for him to come on and promote the SBCA, I knew something was up.
Yeah,
and that's when I figured it out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to promote your dog charity, brother. you know,
I should help you out.
Yeah, I was critical and.
Doing my job, right?
Yeah.
Well, so. Yeah, it's a challenging space, I guess, right? You got to be honest. You got to do your job. It's you're getting paid for, right?
You got to be your opinion, right? Said, you know,
and you got to be authentic, too.
You have to be, yeah.
This city knows when you're full of shit.
Yeah.
They spot a phony a mile away.
Yeah.
I mean, the only question left is, what am I leaving this fucking place with?
Yeah.
what mask am I sneaking out of here from Nasty's cove down here? You got some great buckets in here.
I've got the lot of them are in the cave, but we just threw these up for the show.
Oh, they're beauties. I mean, you got Angus on that Carter mask. Carter's, Moose's very old school style there.
He made that for me, actually. It was awesome.
This Franny did this?
For my 2000th game. You see on the top?
Yeah. So Moose did this for you?
Yeah, he wore that.
Damn.
He wore it for a while. He wore it longer than he was going to, actually. You can see it. Got
awesome.
Took a few
flat mat finish on it.
Yeah.
He's like a great guy, too.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our good buddies.
Yeah. Right on, Jason. Well, I know you got, have some stuff to take care of and a little trek back home, so
we
appreciate you making
this. It's great to be here.
Second here.
Yeah, man.
I watch you guys all the time, and it's weird. I like watching. Like, I don't like to just listen. I'm subscribed on YouTube and everything. So subscribe on YouTube. I know like 88% of you are not subscribed on YouTube, but you watch this. So subscribe, leave a comment, and like it.
We appreciate it.
Get the whole riff, right? You got the whole riff. You got to do it. That helped other hockey fans and fans of Philadelphia Flyers find this great content. But no, I appreciate what you guys do. It's awesome. I love that so many people are talking about the game and the team and everything. And I love the game still. Like, it's got its hooks in me. And I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah, us too. And is there anything else you want to promote before we let you go? Anything?
I do Flyers Daily, and obviously everybody's going to see this content on my Stick to Hockey Live. We're going to share it. The F1 season's kind of in pause mode right now for the off season, but we'll be back in March for that. And I do the Odd G's podcast with Harry Mays, my old radio partner.
Oh.
And we're not bound by any rules of the FCC, so we can do whatever the hell we want.
Right.
And no program director going, you got to talk Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, enough with the Eagles already.
Yeah.
Jesus. So, everything going on, and it's a lot of fun.
Awesome,
doing
man.
A great job, man.
Yeah, really good
appreciate
job.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Riggs, big thanks to Jason Martinez for joining us, man. He's around the Flyers every day, basically, and he's got a lot of good information, good scoops, and it was nice to get him on today.
Yeah, especially last second. We had a guest drop out, and this kind of came around really last second, so he made the trek in the studio today. Awesome guy. We love his perspective. He's got the good radio voice.
Yeah, he does.
He's got the presence there. So appreciate Jason for hopping on, making the time. And what do you got, Nast?
I'll tell you what. The boys are going on the road.
Yes.
They're starting a road trip today, and so are we, Cuddles.
Oh.
Cuddles? Yeah, you.
What's that all about,
we
Nast?
We are going, Cuddles, you and I are going on the road as well.
We're going to cuddle?
Yeah. No, we're not going to cuddle together, but we could end up cuddling. Who knows? But going to join our good friends, Fans of Philly. Check them out, fansoffilly.com. The best sports agency travel there is in Philadelphia, hands down. They've been doing it for 10 years, and we can't wait. We're going to Seattle and a van.
Looking forward to that.
Roxy, the GM, called asking if Cuddles and Nast were coming, and I told him yes. So get ready for that.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Maybe get a little sit down with Hack.
Yes, for sure. Definitely.
Old friends there. So looking forward to that one. They do an amazing job, and I can't wait.
I can't wait. It's awesome.
All right, Nast.
You ready? All right, baller. Let's get into our clear questions from our good friends at Clear Rum. Did you notice the he told me to do the Vanna White?
Oh,
the clear water.
Look clear at the ready crush. To drinks. Look how beautiful those things look up
I'll
there.
I'll tell you what. Jason said he quit. I didn't.
No, you did not. You did not.
I can't wait to put those on ice. Baller, can we get to our clear questions, please?
Yes, sir, we can. We got from DMBTour05 over on Twitter. This is for both of you guys. Would you undo the Lindros trade and get Forsberg instead?
Oh.
Wow.
That is a deep question.
Man, for me, I was here. I wasn't here when that first trade was made, but I was in school, but I was here Eric's second year, I guess, and maybe his third year. But it was when he was named captain, so I think it was his third year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Everything seemed pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was a special hockey player, the size, the strength, but also the finesse.
Yeah, man.
He had. I mean, I literally would watch this guy in practice, and you're just like, how can a guy this big skate this fast, run people through the wall, but then make the softest sauce pass, you know, to someone through three sticks? And just, I mean, he could do everything.
Yeah.
You know, things, obviously, it's easy to say now, well, no, we shouldn't have done that because you gave away Peter Forsberg. But at the time, you know.
I mean, he fit so perfectly in Philly.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
It was like, he was
so
like the
good.
Epitome of a Flyer. I mean, I couldn't imagine a better guy for
that role. He was so impressive to see every day what he could do. And then even in games, you know, like, man, he was just, I mean, you know, you can watch highlights and see how good he was. And then, you know, when the issues started coming with his concussions and that, things just kind of snowballed,
yeah,
went downhill with every aspect of
for sure
him being a Flyer. So it's tough to say. I mean, I would say, like, when you're living in that time, that's a pretty good
deal.
It was
a great,
like,
yeah.
This guy was an elite. Not that Foppa wasn't.
Yeah.
Obviously, Foppa was, but Eric was just a total game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you mentioned, like, his size, his dominance on the ice, his explosiveness, his power, his toughness. I mean, Broad Street Bullies, Flyers, orange and black. It seemed to be a perfect fit. Yes. Yes. As he started getting banged up there, things kind of crumbled, but that was unpredictable. That's not about the signing itself. That was just,
right,
you know, unfortunate the way things worked out. So I would just, I can't imagine Big E not being a Flyer.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
We got another one from Angry Flyers fan, Massimo.
Ooh.
Over on Instagram. We're going to throw it back to 2010 a little bit. Do you guys remember anything from when Lappy took that shot in the face?
You would probably remember more than I would. I think I was sitting in the stands that
I was
game,
on the bench, yeah. He actually took two that year. But
he did,
it was just scary because anytime any of you guys, you know, hockey's a lot, it's changed now, but when you guys get hurt, you know, was it usually guys going down grabbing? But I mean, you see it, a slap, you know, a puck hit a guy in the face, and in the area it was, first thing you're thinking, you know, he lost an eye.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I remember Lappy was saying to the trainer, like, is my eye still here? He didn't know. He couldn't see, obviously, because pouring blood, and you get hit around the eye like that. It was, you know, it kind of made you sick to your stomach.
That's disturbing,
you know,
yeah.
And you're just so worried about him as a person.
Yeah.
You're not even thinking about the hockey at the time. But, man, then seeing him after, like, his whole, you remember seeing him, I looked like, you know, the elephant man.
Yeah.
You know, because his face was so distorted from all the swelling. But I definitely remember it, and I just was scared for him.
Oh, yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah,
you know?
That is scary. Yeah, I don't, man, I wasn't on the ice, so I don't really have much to say about that. But certainly a scary incident. And,
oh, God, it was awful.
I know he was dealing with some aftermath for quite some time. So
right.
I know he's a lot better now, but that's some scary shit. And, you know, Lappy is one of those guys that, when it's all said and done, he would probably lay down and do it again.
I was going to say, you know, we've made light of it now because he's fine and everything was okay, but it'd be like, stop teaching these guys on the PK how to block shots, because you should not lead with your face.
Lead,
you know,
with your face.
But he was willing to, like, I remember Neil Little always saying, like, you need to be willing to get your bag run over for the team. And, you know, Lappy was one of those guys, but obviously it was his face.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's willing to do anything to block shot and help the team win. So it was scary, though.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolute warrior.
All right, Nast, we got one more. I know you're trying to rush us out of here.
Oh,
but,
my God. Let's don't talk about the fact that my business is going down because you guys and your time limits.
All right, we got one from Quinn over on Twitter, mquinn18. Nasty, in your time with the Flyers, who was a player that burst onto the scene? Someone who maybe wasn't expected to be impactful but ended up carving out a role for themselves.
Wow, that's a great question. I'm really going to think about this one. You know who I'm going to say? Someone that I didn't expect because I didn't know much about him would be Matt Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Because Reeder came in as a, you know, now he was a little older for a rookie because he went to school later, but I didn't know anything about him. I think he had played a few games with the Phantoms a year before, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But I didn't know much about him, and I mean, he wasn't like an all-star, but he scored over 20 goals as a rookie, and that just comes to my head right away. And then the next is maybe a guy that didn't come at the beginning of the year, but Ville Leino.
Oh, yeah.
When he stepped on the ice, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, why is this guy not been playing?
Why this guy play two passes, Riley?
Yeah, why is he out there with Riggs getting bagged every day? He was making you better.
He was.
You
know, he was.
That's where the skill part of your game has come in men's league.
Yeah.
Right. No, thanks, but Billy. Like Matt Reed for someone coming in new, but then Ville would really pop out in my head for a guy that wasn't playing. We got in a trade, obviously, but he came out. He went nuts. Obviously, when he got put with Danny and Hartnell, they were kind of our top line. If you really want to look at the numbers, they were putting the most points up, I think. But that would be my answer.
A little disappointed, Nas. I thought you were going to say number 32.
Well, your first shift was unreal. You ran
my first 10 strides.
Yeah. Oh my God, that could have worked out more perfect for you. But No, I would say those two guys really, if I sat down and thought about it longer, maybe I could think of something else, but those two come to mind.
Yeah, I like those picks for sure. All right, we good.
Well, you guys are. Debo's going for a nap, Baller's going to edit, and you're
going to grind some wheels?
You're going to
grind some wheels?
I won't even get them all done now.
Well, I can help you out.
I got more people. You hear them? Joining. Come on in. Join the
bring
pod.
It
bring it down.
Bring it down.
All right.
We're good. Episode 96 in the books. Be sure.
Follow us.
Follow us, subscribe, and tune in next week for episode 97. Thanks, knuckleheads.
Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.